Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack, yeah, and we'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high now, so let's wrap it up. Let's go, you Hawks, move on.
All right, to the great John Weideman. I'm working on that.
I like the way John does it better.
Yeah,
a lot better.
Am I doing that right, John?
No, it's more like, ha-ha!
There it is.
There you go. Oh.
Yeah. That sounds great.
Because it's not mocking. I mean, what I love about that is that it's not like, ha, 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 like I would do. It's more like, yeah, yeah. It's kind of, I love it. It's a very specific signature.
I can tell you where that originates. I mean, it originates in my soul, but the reason that it comes out is because, to me, when I give it one of those ha-ha moments, it's because I'm seeing the Blackhawks at their best, and it just gives me a great feeling inside. And so, you know, being able to share that with the fans, it's just very special to me.
We get a great feeling listening to it. That's what I always say. Wow. Yeah.
Well, they could make your guys' day there.
Right. You do.
And you also know how people listen to the radio? Sometimes they kind of got it down, and they're just waiting for the moment. Right.
Sure.
And that is a perfect way to tell everybody. It's like playing Chelsea Dagger, right? It's just, oh, wait, something happened. Something good happened.
You feel it, right? In your body.
Right. So, yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, maybe some people would see it as an epiphany moment or, you know, maybe it's a crescendo. I don't know. But I always look at a goal like that when I see the guys playing that well. It just makes me feel like, okay, they finally hit their stride. These are the Blackhawks that I love to talk about. And so that's really special.
So, John Weideman, as you're getting ready to call the game for radio tonight on WGN, coming at 8:30, I think, is the 8:42 is the puck drop. The pregame will be at 8 o'clock with Judley. And et al, as we like to say. Now, what do you get nervous about playoffs? Does it change anything you do?
A little bit. You know, I don't feel any of the pressure that the guys feel, but I can definitely pick up on the feeling that they give off. I mean, on both sides, and there is pressure in this series. If we had a second, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. But
yeah, please.
As far as my position is concerned. The pressure on me is to try and do a solid job, really an exquisite job, if you will, because the playoffs are a unique time, and you know you get a greater audience, and the fans need to be informed and entertained. So that's on me. It's incumbent on me to bring energy, enthusiasm, description, and great pace, and usually the games provide that, so that it's easy for me to kind of pick up on that. But as far as the pressure in this series is concerned, Ro, and I think this is something that the fans need to pay attention to here. You know, on the Blues side, they're saying all the right things. You know, Ken Hitchcock, his press conference yesterday after practice was 11 seconds. He just turned to everybody and said, "Yep, we're healthy, we're ready to go," and he just sort of like waved at everybody and he walked off. You know, Joel Quenneville handles things a little bit differently. He addresses the media. He will entertain their questions and whatnot. And so, you know, for the three-time Stanley Cup champions here in the last six seasons, they understand what this is all about. But on the Blues side, there's a level of expectation that's tied into this playoffs that, you know, you have to be on their side to kind of understand how it feels.
This is Hitchcock's. If they get eliminated by the Hawks, there's much discussion that Hitchcock gets fired as their head coach.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like a fait accompli. Like if the Blues don't beat the Blackhawks, expect maybe the next day or, I don't know, a couple days after, Ken Hitchcock to be released from his job. And on top of that, there's going to be some player movement, too. David Backes, their captain, he's in the UFA year of his contract. Former Blackhawk Troy Brower, he's a UFA. You know, the young studs with the Blues are kind of coming up and taking over now. So I could see some change. I could see the locker room dynamic changing. I could see the entire coaching staff being wiped out. I don't think there'd be a change at the top, but I could definitely see a change in the coaching staff and with some of the players. And that right there brings pressure into their dressing room.
John, it sounds... John, it sounds like Andrew... Thank you, Ro. I appreciate that. Turning the mic on always helps.
You're okay.
John, it sounds like Andrew Ladd will be in the lineup today. The last we heard is, according to one report, he's on his way to St. Louis and expected to be skating with that first line. What does he bring to this team? How important is he to have him in the lineup tonight?
Well, he's, in my opinion, a very important cog with the Blackhawks' offensive attack. He's going to play first-line minutes with Jonathan Toews. He'll play on Toews' left. And Marian Hossa's back, by the way. He took the morning skate. He looks like he's ready to go. You know, for the morning skate, Richard Panik slid in there at the left wing position. But it sounds like it's going to be Laddie tonight. And with Andrew Ladd in the playoffs, what you get is you get what you get in the regular season squared, let's call it. He has this notion or this idea of the most effective way to play. He's going to finish every check. He's going to be a guy that he's going to take a check to make a play. He's going to be good defensively. He's very aware, really, in every way. And when the Blackhawks have the puck in the offensive zone, when they're in the Blues end of the ice, Andrew Ladd will be one of the first guys to the top of the crease to screen the goaltender and to battle. So, you know, he doesn't have to be told any of these things. He's got enough playoff experience. He's won two Stanley Cups, one in Carolina in 2006 and one with the Blackhawks. And I think he feels at this point in his career, this is his best opportunity to win another Stanley Cup. So I expect only the best from new papa, Andrew Ladd.
Now, and the baby is born and 10 fingers and 10 toes. We're told. So
awesome.
Baby's good and good. Oh, good. Congratulations.
Healthy baby, man. That's all we could ever ask for is a healthy child, right?
Yes, like that's absolutely right. I'm very glad, John, you didn't hear the first hour of this radio program.
You'd be embarrassed for him.
You'd be very embarrassed for me. And it was a weaker moment. I'm just going to be honest with you. It was a weaker moment about trying to cajole him to leave the delivery room and come down and join his team.
Yeah.
Priorities.
Yeah, there are some priorities in these kinds of things. And now let's talk a little bit about these thugs in the crowd down in St. Louis here for a second. I just got to tell you something. I've gone down to Chicago sporting events in St. Louis, and I got to just, you know, these St. Louis fans, they're not big fans. They're not big fans of Cub fans or Hawks fans or Bears fans coming down. Although the nice thing is that when the Bears fans would show up at whatever that thing is called, Raymond James, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. They far outnumbered the Rams fans, so that was good. I mean, at least you had that. But Blues fans, it's a very sophisticated hockey town. They know this game very well. They've had a lot of success in St. Louis, so they really and they get mad when we show up, don't they?
Yeah, they get a little irritated when they see the red sweaters being worn into the building, you know, the white ones, you know, maybe even the Winter Classic ones. And the problem is for them is that, you know, this is the 12th playoff series between the two teams, and the Blues have only beaten the Blackhawks, I think, two out of the 11 previous series. So there's been a lot of losing on the Blues' end. I mean, this is a team, Ro, that when they entered the NHL in 1967, they went to three straight Stanley Cup finals and got swept in all three straight. So, I mean, they've never won a Stanley Cup final. I go back to the pressure in the dressing room. It's there because of that. And, you know, this is a fan base that, I mean, they almost turn ambivalent toward this team at times during the season. But then when the playoffs come around, yeah, they're there. And these are usually the same fans that you'll see over at the baseball stadium, you know, pulling for the Cardinals. But I expect it to be a raucous kind of a building here tonight. And I think the Blackhawk fans that do venture down here to St. Louis, as they usually do, I think they'll hold their own.
John, there's some players returning from injuries. You mentioned Hossa, notably Corey Crawford back. Talk about what that's like when they're matching up such a big like a physical team like St. Louis, what impact that is to get right back out there.
Yeah, they know that they're going to face a series or a set of games here where there is going to be physicality involved, you know, in the playoffs. But the three that you mentioned, Hossa, Shaw, and Anisimov, they are experienced with it. They know what to expect. I think that, you know, really by playing through the regular season series with the Blues, they get some idea of what to expect. But the Blues have morphed a little bit as a team. They're not that pounding team that we saw in 2014. They can still hit you, But their hits overall are down. They only have about five or six guys that really bring the physical contact. And, you know, that's a lot. But at the same time, they've got a lot more skill in their lineup. Their third and fourth lines are better. So this is not going to be an easy team to beat in any of the games. And, the key might be in goal. The Blues, Brian Elliott is supposed to get the start from what we heard. Jake Allen is now supposed to be healthy. We're going to see what happens there. Corey Crawford, by the way, guys, if he wins tonight, he becomes the all-time, or his next game, he becomes the all-time winningest goaltender in Chicago Blackhawks history. So I think the goaltending is going to decide it, as it does many playoff series.
John, the Blackhawks have played in 117 postseason games since the 2008-2009 season. That's 27 more than the next closest team. What sort of mental advantage does that give the Blackhawks over their opponents in the postseason?
I think it's a definite advantage. You have that much playoff experience over that short of a period of time. I think they definitely know what's necessary. Not just in the way of expenditure of energy, but in how to, you know, reserve that energy, how to, you know, do the right things during the day leading up to the playoff game, how to not get too high or low, how to pay attention more closely in meetings and try and understand exactly what the coaches want them to do. Not that we have guys that sit there and daydream during meetings. I don't think anybody does. But
like me,
focus really has to be trained on every shift of every game, and you just can't have a bad shift. This team has grown to that point where they know what they need to do. Whether they'll be able to go out and do it, nobody really knows. But, you know, on that point, Nicklas Hjalmarsson, you mentioned the number, 117 games. Nicklas is the all-time leader among Blackhawk defensemen in playoff games played. Tonight's going to be 118, but this group.
And only Duncan and Duncan Keith because of injury, right? Because Duncan Keith was on all. Well, I guess Duncan Keith didn't join the team until the 2009-2010 season, right? So that was why Hjalmarsson would have
been. That sounds about right.
Would be the right one, yeah.
Dunk is one game behind Hjalmarsson. He was suspended back during the 2014 playoffs for. Was it 2013 or 2014? I can't remember.
For
which.
Another high-sticking.
High-sticking incident on Jeff Carter.
Yeah. And he does have the most heroic moment of the, I think, the modern era of the Blackhawks when, you know, he gets hit in the face.
Oh, gosh,
with
yeah.
The, with
lost
the puck.
Seven teeth.
And of course, and then Grant DePorter bought them. But
of course he did.
Then he comes out and he misses literally in – He gets hit. I think it was the end of the first period, right? And then he misses one line, essentially. One turn on the ice. Yeah. And then he comes back, and he's like all sewn up. I thought he died. There was so much blood. I thought he died.
Game four of the Western Conference Finals in 2010. Yeah. Pretty impressive.
That was very impressive.
That was it. That was it. He's tough. He's a hockey player, man. I mean, that's just how they're made.
Those teeth are available at the at Harry Carey's at the Sports Museum at Water Tower Place. In case you're interested in taking a look at them, you
they
can
still
see.
Have the blood on them.
Yes, in fact, they do.
Yeah.
All right, John. Thank you so much. Call a great game tonight. Have fun.
Thank you, Ro. My pleasure.
All right.
Oh gosh, Ro. Gotta work on that.
There you go. That's better. Thank you. That's the way it should be.
Hockey players, they're a different breed. Andrew Shaw took one point blank to the face, was knocked out on the ice, and same thing with him. He was there right at the beginning of the next period, so I think he missed maybe two shifts.
And same thing with him. We bought the stitches. We bought Andrew Shaw. The stitches are right next to Duncan Keith's teeth.
All
right. Seven teeth and stitches from Andrew Shaw. That about sums up hockey players.
There you go.
And then they call it an upper body injury.
Upper body.
He's fine. No, he's fine.
Even though there was blood and teeth missing and players knocked out, just an upper body.
I would have taken
no problem.
I'd have taken the whole summer off at that point. I could come back in
from
September.
From radio.
Yeah, from radio. I'm too injured.